I just imagined something where there's a conversation with these people in a room and a bright light comes from off screen. I love how that horn just honked. It was in agreement to the idea. So bright light comes off stage and a person looks up at that bright light. They're looking at it, slightly entranced by it. It's sort of a natural thing. There's something interesting about it. Not necessarily, like you could tell that when they're talking, they're aware of that light. And so you could kind of see that energy in their brains while they're having discussions. And then they, will periodically look at that light. But they're not talking about the light. They're not even talking about what that light is. So what's great is, let's say we weave that into a conversation. Perhaps there's a certain word, perhaps there's a certain sentiment, a certain color, maybe there's a specific concept, phrases, and then that light comes on. So maybe we mark when the light comes on, what word, and then bam, when it goes off, what word, and then we can actually stitch together a sentence throughout the whole movie. That would be fun. Stitch a whole sentence together. Intriguing. That would be fun. That would be fun. I'm imagining how you see in those movies. I think they did it in Austin Powers. It reminds me of that song, like, you'll fall down on your ask me a question. It's like that kind of thing. But go to the swimming pool and you can watch her tits. A nice day, don't you know? It's a nice day, don't you know? So anyway, you see what those words are that kind of blended in there. Kind of reminds me of that kind of thing where you can maybe I also want to incorporate split screens. I love that. Or quadruple screens too. Time Code is a phenomenal movie utilizing that. And I think a lot of improv possibly. Just brilliant. So you have the one person saying the one sentence, facing the one side of the direction, to the right, or stage left, and then the next person picks up what seems like their sentence or even the answer to that person's question on a looking off to the left, stage right, but they're in a completely different location. It's a different thing. So we could do a lot of those little tricks, flip them back and forth. Ooh. Ooh, what if you record three different conversations, three different places, three different, maybe it's three of the same actors, three different suits. So what you do is you shuffle them in. So you get the idea, okay, they're in these one suit. I imagine some guy in red, some guy in blue, and then they're all sitting in a place that's all white. And then a yellow, maybe there's a yellow person, yellow suit. Get that primary color idea. We mix in these symbolic, these themes. So maybe their conversations are just very basic. But the most basic, like beautiful nuggets of wisdom. They say the best thing to do is to the true wise men, the sages, they speak in as few as words as possible. And they're like, whoa. Why do I know that this incarnation at this moment in time is not a sage? Well, he talks too much. He's just too much concerned with the details, nuances, etc., and so forth that are going on to incorporate that stuff. So what you got is you got this conversation going on. They're cutting back and forth. Blah, 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 blah. Same three actors, Heck, maybe now with facial hair, without facial hair, it's a combination of things. The next one, maybe they're, you know, they look even different. Hairstyles, who knows? So what you do is you already plan ahead of time exactly how the dialogue from each of those three conversations could completely come together. So maybe what happens is, okay, so how about this? If you were to take them separately, each of them all by themselves, maybe there's a way on the DVD where you can go, combine only the primary colored stuff. Bam, combine only this maybe they got like animal kind of bodies or something, you know. Maybe that's another one. So you got the animal one. You got the one that looks like where they look like robotics or something. And maybe each of the conversations reflect each of those particular, maybe it's the elements. Maybe it's the elements. We don't tell the audience. Air, fire, water, earth. So each of them speak in those words that are close to those. You don't ever give it away. So their conversations kind of revolve around that. But you don't realize till you separate them. Because what happens is you're going to see this. Okay, the red, white, and yellow, you know, they're talking. And all of a sudden, they're talking, bam, this person asks a question, bam, cuts to the answer from this other person. So you shuffle it all together. What I'm imagining is that version that has all of them kind of shuffled in there together, where it actually still makes a concise film, that is, in a sense, and could be an answer, because you're kind of going out of time with those things. It's an answer to perhaps a question, a big question or a big riddle, a big mystery that is presented in each of those stories that they might individually have, yet are somehow correlated with the others. So you go, okay, well, okay, DVD. All right, bam. Show me only the air, you know, whatever that one's going to be called. Show me only that conversation. You see it and you go, whoa, here's their dilemma, you know, or here's this thing. You're going, oh, wait, these people are only talking about air. Whoa, air, interesting. Whoa, these people are only using, like, fiery terms. Ah. Oh, these people are only using watery terms. Oh, these people are only using, like, so then that one is maybe the earth ones, they're all lumberjacks. You know, the animals. Maybe the air people, they breathe slowly. They're very calm. The way that they talk, you know, maybe one of them kind of go talks like this. The other one's like, well, I'm imagining that when, you know, that kind of thing. She's such, you know, that. So once you separate them, then you realize, oh my gosh. Maybe in each of those, they're talking about their relationship to humanity. Could be a really interesting Twilight Zone episode kind of thing. If I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it was Sleater-Kinney. Let's see. Was it? Oh, no. Wait, Sleater-Kinney? Or was it, oh, God. Wait. Let's see. Pavement? No. There was something where you play. Okay, let's see. How is that? Pavement. Maybe it's a pavement. Multi. No. So this was the crazy thing. So I think it was Pavement, maybe. I don't know. It's one of these bands that I always wondered. So what they did was they put out 4 CDs. Each of those CDs only contained specific elements of a song. Now, when you play them all together all at once and you synchronize them with boomboxes, whatnot, you go 3, 2, 1, bam, you press them all at the same time, it synchronizes. What a brilliant display of synchronization. It synchronizes. You sit in the middle. I'm imagining sitting in the middle of this room with all these different things playing at once. And it just works. So now I don't know if this would mean that one CD is all just guitars, one is just all bass, etc., etc., etc. Or if it cuts in and out where now you're, you know, it's on one CD, you're hearing just guitar like, and boom, 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 boom. It might be interesting. You play it all together like, whoa, we solved a mystery. So in the same kind of vein as that, that's what I'm imagining for this particular movie. I also thought how cool it would be is if you get a movie. What do they call it? One-sided, double-sided glass. So, like they do in the interrogation rooms. So you look through the glass. You do all the filming. All the cameras can look through that glass, record. You can basically put it on like a play. So you have the whole thing rehearsed, everything. And you shoot through the glass. All these cameras, 4 or 5 cameras, all shooting through the glass. You got some that are on the ceiling, some that are up in the corners. You got all of these dynamics. It'd be intriguing. So you shoot all that stuff, you could get a lot done. I tells you. Now let's say if you tint the inside mirror with green, you could basically chroma key wherever you want around these people. Huh. Just imagine those possibilities. I think what we're going to go to now is a very unique, I believe part 4 of the Different Strokes reunion. Forgotten Tales is leaving this for us. I think we've played 1, 2, 3 so far. So this is number 4, the Different Strokes reunion. And hold on tight, folks. Because there's just no telling what kind of twists in between you and me, what kind of turns, what kinds of twists, and what kind of turns we're going to get out of this. Okay, so hang on, hold on to your seats, strap on a helmet if you have to. Because we're going on a crazy, crazy, crazy imagination of Forgotten Tales coming soon, possibly to a theater near you.
Sam's only wish is to be reunited with his family once they meet his successful husband. Willis wears Sam's cowboy hat while he chews on their bones. Yada yada yada, Willis finds love and she straightens out his life. They bury the bodies in the Rose Garden and adopt / abduct down and out children from Koreatown. Comedy ensues. What do you think? Too soon? I mean good enough.
Okay, so I had to point that out to you. I just kind of went down this rabbit, this little rabbit hole trail here of listening to Peter Tork music. And he's got an album called Relax Your Mind, Peter Tork and the Shoe Suede Blues, honoring the music of Lead Belly with special guest Nick Thorkelson. So he's got a song here called Goodnight Irene. I'm sitting right here next to a book called Goodnight Irene by James Scott Burnside. Many of you who've heard the past few episodes of podcasts, you'll notice that we had an extensive interview with James Scott Burnside, both inside the K Chung Studios over the weekend with Jamie Lee on Monday with Jamie Lee Wise, talking about his book Goodnight Irene, a mystery. And then we hung out, you hear the podcast where we're hanging out and he's talking about Scientology. We're driving near the Scientology building. And it was also in that episode where I put Leah Remini's little piece of account of what happened with her in Scientology. So it's quite intriguing that here Peter Tork has a song called Goodnight Irene. It makes so much sense. I'm going to open up to the page right now of Goodnight Irene that I've been reading, and I'm going to point out, let's see if there's a name Peter on this page. That would blow me away if there was. There's no Peter. Or Lead Belly, for that matter. No Lead Belly. This time. So there you go. Another piece of usu. It's flowing around us at all times. Intriguing. God, that just blows my mind. More later.
Hi, it's Mickey Dolenz here. You're listening to Inspirato Projecto.
I went down this Scientology rabbit hole. I'm going to get out quick soon here. I just came across just some intriguing thing here. Leah Remini was friends with the top-ranking dude. His name's Miscavige. She was good friends with his wife, Shelley. And all these Scientologists were at the Tom Cruise wedding with Katie Holmes. And she asked him, she said, where's your wife? Where's Shelley? And everyone who was around nearby, they all just scattered away. They all kind of left. And apparently she was talked to by the Scientologists. They're like, you can't be asking about this woman. She filed a missing police report about this woman. And it turns out, they ended up finding out, this is so interesting, this little piece of usu, this is why I'm sharing this, is that on this program it says here, Shelley Miscavige, the mystery of Scientology's vanished queen. So there's a guy here who's talking about this. And apparently, she was taken to this facility up in a town called Twin Peaks outside of Los Angeles. I didn't even know this place existed. They got some kind of compound up there. Twin Peaks. And it says here, rumor has it, Shelley is confined in Scientology compound. Well, the extra crazy thing about this is that Shelley is the name of a character in Twin Peaks. Wow. Why is this significant? Well, because I'm adding voices to the Archivist, which is the virtual reality gaming experience that goes through the town of Twin Peaks. It goes through all the lore, the myth. It goes through all the Twin Peaks stuff. Wow, this is nuts.
Twin Peaks? Twin Peaks. David Lynch had to have traveled to Twin Peaks. You know what? That's all there is to it. I've got to go check out this Twin Peaks area. Not for the Scientology, but just to be out there to see what these woods are like. I wonder if they show any... I thought I saw a picture here of the outside of it.
At what point do you willingly want to be where you are doing what you do? At what point have you been conditioned to the point where you can't imagine a different kind of life? And we'd love to know the answer to that from Shelley herself if we ever see her again.
But some ex-Scientologists are painting a dark picture of the circumstances she might be living in.
Yeah, because they've been through them themselves. So this would be a regimen of hard menial labour, everything from landscaping to scrubbing toilets with a toothbrush, long hours of study of Scientology, and what they call security checks, intense auditing sessions, one-on-one in a locked room where you are just beaten down over the course of hours and hours to reveal every last secret, which is then thrown back at you, every failing, every flaw.
Why would she be there? What was the transition between being the First Lady of Scientology to...
And she was the First Lady.
So how did she get to this position?
Well, that's a very good question. What we now know, this is new information from Tony Ortega, who's a journalist
so
in New
crazy,
York.
Folks. The author of the Underground. So this little piece is on The Morning Show. Very intriguing. Very intriguing when you look at so many rabbit holes, right? So many rabbit holes to go down. And the remaining thing we got to ask ourselves, okay, what is valuable information? What's not valuable information? How does it make us feel? What are we feeding our bodies with? Anybody who's been listening to the podcast, you know what kind of information I've been putting in my brain. Is it something that's helpful? Is it something that's negative? Pessimistic? Terrible? Rotten? Horrific? Is it contributive? Does it contribute or contaminate? So that's something... Dude, keep ourselves in check. Contribute or contaminate. Looking at our language, looking at our food, looking at our conversations, looking at our movies, TV, any media, any information anywhere. Any information anywhere. Maybe documenting. How does it make me feel? How does it make me feel? How does it make me feel? Is it empowering? So, knowing that that stuff is out there, I'm sorry to hear that whoever's going through that stuff is going through that stuff. I do know that the more I fill my brain, though, with good vibes, with things that are going to enhance my excitements. For instance, let's see. Let's go down a rabbit hole with Neville Goddard. Let's go find him. Neville Goddard. Oh, imagination. That's what we want. All right. Let's do a little piece of this, okay? Here's what Neville Goddard has to say about imagination. I think no matter what we would be taught, you know, or brainwashed to believe in a very negative, sad, despaired situation, I think as long as we had this kind of information with us, knowing that we are bigger than whatever rules or regulations that other humans put upon us. Because we're all just coming from the source. Anyway, here we go. Here he is. He's talking about imagination.
To achieve your every desire. Most men are totally unaware of the creative power of imagination. And invariably bow before the dictates of facts and accept life on the basis of the world without. But when you discover this creative power within yourself, you will boldly assert the supremacy of imagination and put all things in subjection to it. When the man speaks of God in man, he's totally unaware that this power called God in man is man's imagination. This is the creative power in man. There is nothing under heaven that is not plastic as potter's clay to the touch of the shaping spirit of imagination. Once a man said to me, "You know, Neville, I love to listen to you talk about imagination. But as I do so, I invariably touch the chair with my fingers and push my feet into the rug just to keep my sense of the reality and the profundity of things." Well, undoubtedly, he is still touching the chair with his fingers and pushing his feet into the rug. But now let me tell you another one who didn't touch with her fingers and didn't push that foot of hers onto the board of the streetcar. It's the story of a young girl, just turned 17. It was Christmas Eve, and she is sad of heart. For that year, she had lost her father in an accident, and she's returning home to what seemed to be an empty house. She was untrained to do anything, so got herself a job as a waitress. This night is quite late, Christmas Eve. It's raining. The car is full of laughing boys and girls home for their Christmas vacation. And she couldn't conceal the tears. Luckily for her, as I said, it was raining. So she stuck her face into the heavens to mingle her tears with the rain. And then holding the rail of the streetcar, this is what she did. She said, "This is not rain, but this is spray from the ocean. And this is not the salt of tears that I taste, but this is the salt of the sea in the wind. And this is not San Diego. This is a ship. And I'm coming into the Bay of Samoa." And there she felt the reality of all that she had imagined. Then came the end of the journey. And all are out. 10 days later, this girl received a letter from a firm in Chicago saying that her aunt, several years before, when she sailed for Europe, deposited with them $3,000 with instructions that if she did not return to America, this money should be paid to her niece. They had just received information of the aunt's death and were now acting upon her instructions. 1 month later, this girl sailed for Samoa. As she came into the bay, it was late that night, and there was salt of the sea in the wind. It wasn't raining, but there was spray in the air, and she actually felt what she felt 1 month before, only this time she had realized her objective. Now, this whole record is technique. I want to show you today how to put your wonderful imagination right into the feeling of your wish fulfilled, and let it remain there and fall asleep in that state. And I promise you, from my own experience, you will realize the state in which you sleep if you can actually feel yourself right into the situation of your fulfilled desire and continue therein until you fall asleep.
Wowzers. Neville Goddard. Isn't that guy awesome? This little video, they added some great music here. This is called Neville Goddard, How to Manifest Your Life Using Imagination. And the YouTube channel is You Are Creators. You Are Creators. How cool is it? So this Neville Goddard, you listen to his stuff, just great. He and Alan Watts, I always quote about. Also Abraham. Also Dolores Cannon. These are all ideas, information, exciting knowledge that sparks my creativity and magnetizes more and more magical circumstances. I can directly point to these things and go, yeah, because it's all rattling around back there, all rattling around back there. Imagine if you got friends and you're talking about these big time concepts all the time. Then you're basically, you've mentally, it's like learning how to fence. You've learned how to be agile, zip your way around. Okay, that is all for
Now.
Here's your fun fact. A survey of 2,000 women by a British retail chain. These women were asked at what age women feel their sexiest. Well, that age is 34. Stay tuned to Inspirato Projecto for more fun facts.
That was so awesome. That was my buddy Daniel Figurelli. His song, White Noise. He's so good. So good at what he does. So good. He's so good. He and I used to jam all the time. We lived in the same apartment complex. and just worked really well together with our harmonies and what we created together. Man, I'm so proud of my friends when I see them create and stuff. So he created this, and he goes, here, put it on your podcast. So thank you, Daniel, so much for sending that in. I want to call an attention to something. Who was I talking with? I believe I recorded our conversation. It might have been with Ryan. We were talking, I believe I recorded it onto a podcast. We were talking about Boba Fett and how, we were talking about that Christmas special and how Boba Fett showed up riding like this dinosaur. Talked about this semi-recently. And in fact, here's a little piece of that. This was the Star Wars Holiday Special, 1978, and Boba Fett shows up. Here we go. Check it out. You'll be able to hear a little piece here. So now we're picking this up right as we see this. It's so funny. I was just talking about fuchsia, right? The fuchsia. I think this sort of dinosaur thing is eating away at Luke's ship. It looks like some sort of dinosaur. It's fuchsia. And all of a sudden you see this laser beam come out and shoot it. Now, this is where we pick up from here after he shoots a laser beam.
Troops near this planet?
They are here, friend, and growing more powerful.
How far away?
Settle down. All they do is eat.
This is all we have, but he's welcome to.
You are foolish to waste your kindness on this dumb creature. No lower life form is worth going hungry for, friend. I take it you have no love of the Empire.
I don't.
Well, neither do I.
So what's so interesting about this Boba Fett, he's got what looks like a third eye drawn onto his helmet. It's pretty cool. Yeah, he's got like a third eye. And he's kind of slightly a good guy, but also kind of bad guy. Now, the reason why I'm pointing this out, I just came across an article. Oh, okay, so I was talking with Ryan about how crazy it would be if Boba Fett showed up in the next movie, because they're thinking about doing a Boba Fett standalone movie. And I said, wouldn't that be funny if we show him riding on the back of that dinosaur thing? And we were joking about that idea. Now, this is specific. What's so interesting, the reason why I'm really, really pointing this out to you, otherwise, you know, I totally normally would. And now I must really, really, because I just played Neville Goddard for you, a little piece of him talking about imagination. And so I came across this article about a new social network, kind of like Twitter, called Mastodon. Mastodon, mastodon.social. Mastodon. And there's this post, and it says, "Art was invented when this was drawn. Everything before it doesn't count." You click on it, and it's Boba Fett riding on the back of like a dinosaur creature, the long neck. And it's quite interesting. It's quite interesting. It looks awesome. So that is kind of, to me, I did an Inspirato Projecto one. That, to me, it was a message to me that, oh, okay, this is good. You got a new Twitter, a new social account, social networking account. I started the ground up, basically, on a Wild West. It could work really well. Let's see if I can link this up with my Anchor account somehow, so I can put up all the podcasts will be up here. So yes, I had to point that out to you. So keep that in mind.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning into the Inspirato Rejecto. This is I, Mr. Turetsky. Is the pussy taste better in the fuchsia? Bulls on parade! Bulls on parade!
What you just heard right there was Mr. Turetsky, or as they say in some circles, Mr. Turetsky. That's in relation to the fuchsia, which is something that was talked about in one of the previous episodics. Welcome to the fuchsia! You might remember that. You might. And if you don't, you can go back and listen to it. It was a barrage, let me tell you. It was a barrage, let me tell you. It sure was a barrage, let me tell you. It sure was a barrage. Let me tell you. It sure was a barrage. Let me tell you. Sheesh. Who let the cows out of the barn? Ho, ho, ho. Who let the cows out of the barn? Ho, ho, ho. Who let those cows out of that barn? Ho, ho, ho. Who let those cows out of that barn? Ho, 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 ho. Who let them cows out of that barn? Who let them cows out of that barn? Who, who, who? Oh, I'm asking you, who let them damn cows? Who let them cows out of that barn? I'm asking nicely. I'm asking real nicely now, okay? Who let them cows out of that barn?
Excuse me, sir?
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir?
Yeah.
Excuse me, sir, what are you doing?
I'm talking into the microphone. What are you doing?
I'm here to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay, well, maybe you could tell me what I'm supposed to be doing.
Stay away from that microphone. Oh, poo. Oh, poo. Stay away from that microphone. It's rude. It ain't nice to do.
Who are you to tell me to stay away from the microphone? Something's telling me, bub, that you want to talk on the microphone. Right. Maybe you let the cows out of that barn. Maybe you let them cows out of that barn.
Oh, poo, I don't know what took it with. I didn't, listen, I saw all them cows out there nice, and I even picked quite a few of them, but I didn't let no cows out of that barn. Oh, poo, Everybody's always blaming me.
I'm blaming you. You. I'm telling you that I'm suspicious of you. I ain't saying that you done it. I ain't saying that you done it. I'm just saying perhaps maybe you did.
Oh, Poo, I don't like them kind of accusations. I'm getting out of here.
All right, you better hightail it. You better hightail it fast. And by fast, I mean real fast. You catch my drift. You better start hightailing it fast. And by fast, I mean a real fast. If you catch my drift. If you catch my drift. Eh? Still haven't figured out who let those cows out of that barn. Who let them cows out of that barn.
One thing I wanted to comment on is the extraordinary photos that Mr. Turetsky, look him up. He's on Instagram. Instagram. That could be the new, kind of like, what's his name, Nathan Fielder from Nathan For You. This would be something that he would make. Ins, like, are you ins? You make it a hip word, ins. Yo, are you ins or are you outies? Yo, are you ins or are you outies? Yo, are you ins or are you going to drive away an Audi? You take something that was shortened and you lengthen it. Okay, so, yo, are you ins or are you gonna hop in an Audi and drive out of here? You gonna hop in an Audi and then you gonna drive out of here? Or are you ins? Are you ins da gram? You call it ins? I'm contemplating a Z. Ins da. Like you're in the, it's like being in the house. Ins da, or if you want to go the other route, D-U-H. Like duh, are you ins? Duh. Oh, that would be a good commercial actually. Yo, are you ins? And that's how they, see, that's how they tell one another who's got the ins da Graham. Maybe it's G-R-A-H-A-M. Or maybe you add an extra M, G-R-A-M-M. That would be good, too. Yo, are you ins? Duh. And then they go, Graham, and then bam, you know, oh, they say, Graham, bam. Yeah, that's good. Graham, that's the high five. Graham, bam, that's when the hands hit, bam. Oh, when you can live in a world of absurdity, what's the point in living anywhere else? When you can live in a world of absurdity, what's the point of living anywhere else? Anywhere else, anywhere else. When you're living in absurdity, what's the point in living anywhere else? When you're living in absurdity, what's the point of living anywhere else?
Living anywhere else.
Living anywhere else.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miles Davis on the trombone.
When you're living a life full of absurdity, what's the point of living anything else?
ladies and gentlemen, Mike Patton on vocals.
When you're living in absurdity, what's the point of living anywhere else?
Also, unexpected guests, Mr. Bungle.
Oh, what's the point of living in a world where you can't have absurdity?
What's the point of living in a world
where you can't have absurdity? And the demons of fright, and the crazy of night, and the man who walks through the street with a pumpkin in his hand, which is quite huge and quite grand. And he lives in a world of absurdity.
And even though I have friends who live in other worlds,
I won't let that deter me. 'Cause I will scream like I can, like a gingerbread man. 'Cause that's how I do things in my world.
Thank you, Danny Elfman, on vocals. Thank you so much for Monty Python for starting out that jam. Thank you, Mike Patton, for your vocals. Thank you, Mr. Bungle, for your vocals. Thank you to the non-official security guard.
Oh, Pooh, Astor's doing my job.
Thank you to everyone who has stopped by. Check out Instagram.com, Inspirado Projecto. You can also, Mr. Turetsky, he's got some wonderful photos up there. He's been creating some great yachtly crew concoctions, creations, and also making some really cool ones with me and my cat, my friend, my collaborator, my confederate, Dr. Gonzo. Dr. Gonzo. Dr. Gonzo. He's a cat. He's a cat. Look at that. Look at that. Dr. Gonzo. Dr. Gonzo. He's a cat. He's a cat. And his sometimes words are hot. Dr. Gonzo. Well, I was just thinking, Doctor Who, there hasn't really been a doctor who wears a hat. Nope. Scratch it. Reverse it. Matt Smith wore his tiki. There we go. 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 I'm imagining a top hat. Did we do that yet? Or the newsies.
Hello, sir. Would you like a newspaper? Would you like to read about what's in the papes? I'm thinking that maybe you want to read about what's in the papes today.
One of those guys. Did I ever tell you about my idea for a tribute band? Called, and it's a bunch of kids. Or it could be a bunch of little people. But I'm imagining kids. Or little people. Both. Both, really. That's the solution. You add them both together. It's called Huey, Louie, and the Newsies. And they're a Huey Lewis tribute band. And it's a bunch of kids and little people. They're all kids. And that's their novelty. They'll dress up like that.
Like newspapers.
They all talk in that accent. And once they start singing,
They could be an a cappella group, you know? They could also have instruments. Who knows? What if it was like a cappella mixed with the good old-fashioned, like the jug, the jaw harp, the cigar box guitar? That could be cool. That could be cool. Any other slide whistle? Oh, God, slide whistle. Oh, the castanet, they got the two kinds. One, the cymbals, the tss, 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 and then the other, like little, maybe one of them's got the tambourine, one of them's got maracas. I'm imagining more like handmade things. Buckets, there we go. Those are the drums right there, the buckets. Like you see on Hollywood Boulevard. That's good. It could be like stomp. Oh, jeez. Don't get me started. It'd be like stomp. Do you realize this? Look what we've hatched together, folks. Just by you listening, we've hatched. How many ideas have we hatched together right there? How many times? So Huey, Louie, and the Newsies, be on the lookout. It could be crazy. And all they're just trying to do is sell newspapers. Maybe that's it. The finale is someone actually buying a newspaper from them. I'd like to get into finding out what made these kids. Are they homeless? Are they just living on the streets? What's that like? Selling the newspapers. Also, I'm thinking a great way. Oh, I'm not going to give away this secret. I'm thinking of making a Patreon where I give away. No, that's terrible. What are you doing, Kurt? What are you doing? You're turning corporate on us. Kurt, don't think about doing that, Kurt. Don't think about that. Well, there's some of these ideas that I'm imagining if I put them in a spot and those who really want to see that and or collaborate on that to see what that is. Well, geez, Kurt, what are you doing? Are you trying to say that you're a mastermind of ideas and inventions? And what are you? I'm so insulted. Are you saying that the average, the normal, mundane, generic, beige, just everyday, human, earthling? Are you saying that just the regular vibrating earthling cannot comprehend the amazing, the extraordinary, the terrific, the spectacular ideas that sprout from your antenna, and you're telling me that you want us to pay for that? Listen, man, this is extortion. This is extortion. You're trying to hold ideas hostage? Is that your new racket? Is that your new racket? You're trying to hold... Okay, let me get this straight. You're trying to hold ideas for hostage? Jesus! Kind of world we living in! Things are bad enough as they are, man. Do you realize? $10 an hour, man. Average human making $10 an hour. You want me to buy a turkey sandwich for $12? I'm only making $10 an hour. Listen, you want me to buy a turkey sandwich for $12? Because this is some special deli that people go to that's famous? I make $10 an hour. Are you telling me it's a luxury to eat here, to dine here at this ristorante? At this authentic ristorante, you're telling me, I'm making $10 an hour and you want me to buy a $12 sandwich? Sandwich? Hey, Mitch. Great sandwich. Hey, Mitch. You're trying to make me pay $12 for the sandwich, Mitch? Oh, God. You're getting my gears grinding, buddy. You're getting my gears grinding, man. You're grinding them up, man. Here, take these peanuts, put in that grinder, While you're at it, make me some peanut butter. Make something good out of this, will you please? $12 for a sandwich, Mitch? Oh, I'm making $10 an hour. Maybe $8 if I'm lucky after taxes, after my 401k. $8. That's 2 hours of work I gotta put in to eat this sandwich, Mitch. You know what I'm gonna do with this mumbo jumbo gumbo jambalaya goulash? You know what I'm gonna do with it? I'm gonna take that peanut butter. Thank you very much. Thank you, by the way, for grinding up those peanuts. And I'm gonna take this peanut butter, I'm gonna put it on 2 slices of bread, and I'm gonna eat that instead, sandwich. Sandwich, Mitch. Instead of eating your sandwich, Mitch, putting it on this bread, I'm gonna eat that up, man. There ain't no stopping me, buddy. Ain't no stopping me. I could buy a whole loaf of bread for $12, Mitch. Wait, I could buy six loaves of bread with that, Mitch. And you want me to eat one damn sandwich for $12, Mitch? Jeez, how dare you try to make a Patreon? How dare you covet those ideas, those million-dollar, billion, gazillion, jillion ideas? How dare you do it to me and this community, to Mother Earth? To Mother Earth! Look what you're doing to Mother Earth! Stepping all over her graces. Stepping all over her faces. Jesus. Leaving all the traces. What are all the bases? Might as well squirt me in the eye with maces. Sheesh, McFishington. And associates. See, the truck outside agrees. You capitalist, fascist pig, how dare you make a Patreon? Keep your ideas. Oh, you saw your secret ideas. Oh, you and your secret ideas, huh? Oh, you and your secret ideas. Guess what, bucko? I got an antenna, too. I got an antenna tree in my backyard, too. You know what? I got a small one that's in a pot, and I carry it around with me wherever I go. So there you are. There you are. You can only hug yours from the ground. I can carry mine all around, man. All right, geez, it was just an idea. Sheesh. Just an idea. Just thinking about it, man. So, folks, we're out there in the world rocking and rolling. I'm certain I will tell you this again. However, Kapow Intergalactic Film Festival, it's coming up September 28th through October 4th. I might actually make a commercial for it. A minute long commercial that I can put on Instagram. I'm going to start uploading more little giblets from this program to Instagram. Are you ins? Duh. Gram. Bam. So I'm going to put up a lot of these 1 minute promos for this podcast. It's the bridge. It's the bridge that bridges the peoples with the other peoples. And it's the bridge that they walk on together. And they meet each other. Sometimes they fish off this bridge. Because if you feed this guy a fish, and then he learns how to do this thing, you will never have to feed that man again. Because he'll be making his own fish. This guy with the fishing pole, he'll be making his own fish. So that's the bridge. There it is. Bridge, what's the bridge, Ridge? Yo, this is Ice-T. What's the bridge, Ridge? Yo, consider this a very special PSA, and by PSA, I mean public service awesomeness. This is Ice-T, and I don't settle for no less. Thank you so much, Ice-T. Jeez, we've had so many great people on the show today. The airplane agrees. The airplane agrees.
I'm going to look out at these streets. I'm going to do it right now. I'm going to have you with me while I do this. We're going to look out at these trees, and we're going to start cooperating with them. We're going to make agreements with Mother Nature right now. We're going to see which one's okay. Let's see. Antenna tree, I'm looking at you. I'm looking at you, my friend. Hi, antenna tree. I see you moving a little bit. I see you. Are you waking up? I see you back there. I see you moving too. You're starting to wiggle. The truck agrees. I see you over there too on the right side. You're moving now too. You're moving. And you back there. I do not think that I do not see you. Then you in the front, you're starting to move more, aren't you? Look at you. Instead of like twiddling your fingertips, you're now moving your hand. You back there, I see you. Look at. There's a butterfly that just now flew. It's moving. You guys are moving. I see you. Oh my God, you're wiggling your fingers now. I see you over there. You're moving your fingers too. Ooh, I feel breeze. I feel the breeze. Look at, there you guys go. You're moving. You guys are all moving, all of you. You guys are all moving right now. The airplane agrees. The helicopter agrees. Look at that. Interesting. Huh? Interesting dynamics about that. Very interesting dynamics. Look at you guys. We got one, two, three of you on there. That look just like antennas. That's where you got your name from. You know it. I know it. The truck agrees. Wow. You guys. I see you waving back there. Did you hear that? That was a bird. Wings. Loud wings. Folks, it just never stops. It never ends. Always affirming. We get in the habit of affirming all the high vibration stuff. What happens then is that becomes the frequency that we mainly operate on. And then more of it just keeps magnetizing itself to us. It magnetizes to us the information that we're giving it to magnetize. God, what was the quote? Oh, Neville Goddard was talking about this. He said, our founding fathers, they didn't believe in the future. They made the future. They weren't, oh, the future, this might happen. They made the future. They started right there in making the future. How funny is that? That puts a lot more... faith, I guess? Bravery, courageousness? More of a grounded, centered, intentioned... thing, when you know that you are actually creating it. It's coming from you. The wake emerges from the boat buzzing through the water. The wake we see is the trail that's been created. So we're actively creating that trail all the time. So we're not like, oh, someday this will happen. This is that day. Intriguing when we think about that, huh? Just so intriguing. We're up to like 30 minutes here. The other podcast, this is crazy. This is going to be like the length of two podcasts, I'm thinking. I don't know. We'll see. Anyway, I think that's about it. You take care and keep that in mind, please.